This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The 144th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Shador Sanders.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Zubats is on him. And this is for the win.
They're close. They're going to call
the buzzer. Did Gordon beat the buzzer?
They're going to take a look at it.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Inbound to Cunningham. Straight away. Dribbles right. Crossover left. 15-foot pull-up. No good. Harris fighting for the offensive rebound. Ball is loose. 4 seconds to play in the corner. Hardaway. Shot fake. Three-pointer. No good. And the whistle. The bowl game is over. New York wins 94-93, and J.B. Bickerstaff, the Pistons head coach, is out on the floor.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080, The Fan. Good morning. Good Monday. Hello.
What is happening?
Wait, what a weekend.
What a weekend. I was looking around. I couldn't find. Did you guys, is there any brooms in the supply closet anywhere? I couldn't find any.
I think there's a couple. There's a closet right here by our printer.
There's a little dust out. I was just going to sweep it up.
Yeah.
Just to, it was a little mess out there.
That's
I didn't
a good
want
call.
I didn't want to hang for the people that came after us. There's more shows.
Right.
Other people will be in. So occasionally there's little messes that just need to get swept up, and then we move on to the next thing.
So, very fair.
Okay, I'll see if I can find that broom at some point during a commercial
break. We'll have to look for it during the break.
Yeah.
I think they might be hanging. Oh, I know where they are. They're right around the, go by the bathroom.
Yeah, go by the bathroom.
There's another supply closet. If you open it up, you'll see championship banners.
That's where they are. So they're in the
You for your regular season mess.
In the supply closet is where you keep them. Got
it.
Okay.
I think it's. I know you guys don't know it down in Eugene, but it's called the Omaha closet.
That's what you call it.
You guys have never seen it. I know, but
you guys going this year? I don't know for that.
It will be there.
I don't know. You sure? It's like your first series against a Division I team all year. You've been playing Cal State Northridge all season.
It's inaccurate.
Beat up the one of the Vikings a couple of times, probably. PSU. Who
just
else you play?
UCLA.
Oh, sure you did. Yeah, sure you did. Yeah. The UCLA? I don't know
weird
about that.
Thing. Can you name four baseball players?
Yeah. I mean, there's the guy, the guy, the guy, and the guy. And they all played great this weekend. Yeah. Bryce Petcher threw out the first pitch on Saturday. I saw that one. Oh, I love it. I love when Oregon baseball beats Oregon State baseball.
No conference losses for us.
Can't beat the
no,
Pirates,
you don't have any. But, no. Yeah. Swag's a little sensitive today. A little beaver sensitive over there today.
I said can't beat the Pilots.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. We could beat the Beavers. Haven't lost to them this year.
No.
You know. No. Doesn't matter.
Go to Omaha.
The best part about it is none of this matters to us, but it matters to Oregon State.
I don't even think you have a baseball person in your life with college baseball, and yet when you can,
no, I got nothing.
You will jump on it.
I got nothing. Yeah, I can't. I didn't watch any of it this weekend. I knew that they were playing, but there was too much going on. I'm not watching that this weekend. It's NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs.
You're just eternally a troll, aren't you?
Yeah, just absolutely. Yeah, you know, it doesn't happen very often. We lose, it's kind of like, you know, what
are
you
gonna
do?
Oh, I don't care.
It doesn't matter to me. But when we win, it's great.
Ride. While it lasted.
Because then I scroll on social media and I see Beaver fans losing their minds about firing Canham, and I'm like, oh, this is great.
Are they?
Oh, they're out there.
They're firing Canham again?
You better go on a run to Omaha or else. This is like the eighth time he's been fired. He's only been there for 3 years.
You know, make fun of us all you want. At least our fan base, even when we're really good, does have this urge of fire the coach. I don't know if you guys have that in Eugene.
No, not with baseball. We definitely don't. But if Lanning loses three games this year, there'll be chatter.
I mean, what has he really done? What has he really done? What's the big one? I don't know. He hasn't developed anybody.
You think that's going to be a real narrative if he loses three games this year?
Fans are stupid. Well, and that is a universal blanket statement across teams and fandoms and different sports. When you have high expectations for programs, this is certainly the best program at Oregon State, and you have very high expectations for it.
Mm.
And Oregon football is a very high expectation sport. Some of it he did to himself at this point. That'll be out there. They lose three or four games, I'm sure there'll be some chatter.
This weekend, there was a lot that happened, obviously, but you talk about fans are stupid.
you know, we're all kind of stupid, whether we're fans or we're just sports, general sports fans. For the first time, I found somebody in America that was like, Cleveland's going to really regret trading out of that 2 pick. That was a really good move by the Jags.
Ah.
It was my gambling producer.
He loves the Travis Hunter trade.
He's just like, he's such a good player. Why would you pass him up? Like, you'd take him too if you had the 2nd pick in the draft? He's like, yeah, I think he's going to be elite on this side, and I think he's going to be really good on that side. And I'm like, I don't think he's going to play both sides. I think that's going to go away pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He's also 6 foot, 188 pounds. That's like barely bigger than me.
He's not the biggest guy in the world.
Great hands. Obviously, substantially better athlete than I ever could have been.
Yep.
But that's like size-wise. I was taken aback. I was like, oh.
Oh, okay.
You hated that trade for the Browns?
For the Browns, getting an extra first-round pick. All right.
And maybe he'll prove to be right over time because he'll be amazing next to Brian Thomas Jr. But, yeah. Sports fans and sports people, we're all kind of stupid.
We're all pretty stupid. My favorite thing around the draft is when you get the videos that are released from fans in years past screaming about draft picks that are made. Those are my favorite. Mm. Like, there was a Eagles fan, like, when did Hurts get drafted? What was that, 4 or 5 years ago, somewhere in that range? There's an Eagles fan basically filming himself live reacting to every pick that they're making.
Is he 2018 or
2019? 2019, I'm going to say.
I know he was pre-COVID.
I want to say 19, but okay. I'll double check. But anyways, there was a fan, you know, filming himself reacting to the pick, just screaming at his television.
Right.
We don't need a quarterback! What are you doing? Just losing his mind over the draft pick. And now he has helped lead you to 2 Super Bowl appearances and 1 Super Bowl championship. So, you know, the reaction out of draft week, great pick, terrible pick, I always love. The best follow-up question anybody...
2020 was COVID.
2020 draft, yeah. So the best follow-up to anybody who is a fan of that pick is, how's Jacksonville going to be this year?
Well, that, I mean, it all
hinges
on that.
Huge caveat. If they win 11 games and make the playoffs and you're like, look at that, it worked out with a first-time head coach, first-time general manager, first-time defensive coordinator, and first-time offensive coordinator, by all means, credit to them. It's not that bad of a trade. If they only win 5 or 6 games this year, it is a disaster, no matter how Travis Hunter does.
You're not wrong there, but at least they took a swing. I don't know. My jaw almost dropped hearing somebody say, like, oh, man, why would you have traded out of that? And I'm like, did you see what they got?
Yeah, I would say if there's anything to criticize for Cleveland's draft over the weekend, it's taking Dylan Gabriel in the 3rd round. And boy, oh, boy, do I love myself some Dylan Gabriel. Big fan, but whoo, buddy.
We'll say.
Okay.
His name kind of became one of the biggest names from the sports weekend.
I would say
like,
so, too.
Almost a universal.
Huh?
What?
Huh?
There?
The undersized guy who doesn't have that strong of an arm, that doesn't normally work in the National Football League,
like,
in the 3rd round.
If you're going to be 5'9", you need to be Kyler Murray athletic, and he's not Kyler Murray athletic.
He doesn't quite have that.
He doesn't have it. He throws picks in the red zone. I mean, I don't know what they're doing in Cleveland, and I don't think Cleveland knows what they're doing in Cleveland.
They have no idea.
I listened to some of the 92.3 morning show. Ken Carman, and he's like, look, we all know we're going to be awful this year. I'm ready to have some fun. And I'm like, I don't know if this is fun.
Let's get loosey-goosey this year. Why the hell not?
We got two draft picks.
Two top 10 picks, potentially. The funniest thing was when they finally pulled the trigger and took Shador in the 5th round. Their reaction in the draft room looked like a hostage video.
Somebody told me it looked like they were forced to draft him.
Yay. Yeah, we're very excited to take Shador Sanders after we took another quarterback.
Do you think it was Haslam?
And
it
100% was Haslam.
Because he just came out and said he meddled with the Watson thing.
Yes.
That was his fault.
Of course it was.
So you think Haslam made,
dude, we're
made
taking
them
this.
Draft him?
It makes zero sense.
Zero.
When you already have, I want to say, 3 or 4 quarterbacks on the roster.
2 active, 1 injured. So that's 3 total.
Took a guy in the 3rd round and then another one in the 5th round.
Drafted the 4th.
You don't
guy.
Do that. You take one development guy that you're like, yeah, maybe there's a chance this guy pans out. That was clearly Gabriel for the staff, and then the owner calls up and was like, we got to do it.
Let's say you have 7 total picks, okay? 1 from each round. I know some teams get more than that. Some teams have less. Let's say of the 7, how many picks of your team in the NFL draft, how many do you look at and say, blank amount of players you hope hit out of the 7? What is that number for you?
Like, for a good draft? Like, just, hey, that turned out to be a pretty good draft.
When you go into a draft, like, I'll tell you why I'm asking this. I was texting with Nemec, and Nemec's a big 49er fan.
Big Niner fan.
As am I. But he's like also super big draft nerd. So he's like texting me about guys for the 5th to 7th rounds that I've never heard of. And I'm always like, yeah, that sounds good.
I like that pick.
And I'm like, hey, I like their first 3 picks. Like, I like that they went defensive line and
needed
they're
some
trying
help
to beef
there.
It up and get tough again. And
I think Jordan James could have a good NFL career.
I like
that pick
yeah.
up for him.
Jordan James is a good player.
Good value pick.
And he goes, yeah, I really like those picks too. Draft grade, B minus.
Draft grade.
And I just thought, like, so wait, you like the first 3 picks, 2 DTs, an edge, B minus? Well, they didn't do this. They didn't take that. They didn't do this. I said, yeah. But, like, after, like, the 3rd round, aren't you just...
I mean, all of it's a roll of the
your
dice.
Your finger crossing yeah, and your toe
finger crossing
in.
With every pick you make, even
sure.
in the 1st round.
But I look at it and I say 3 players. I just hope 3
I
players of a draft hit.
Not stars, just can you become a good starting, like, a rotational
yes.
player? Like, hey, we can rely on that guy for the next 5 to 7 years.
Right.
If you get 3 to 4, good draft.
And if they have 3 that good I draft. That I like, that I'm just like, oh, yeah, I saw them play in college. They were good.
Seemed like a good player.
I'm going to walk away and say... It's a good draft.
That's a good draft right there.
And he kind of agreed, but then he was like, B-.
B-. That's not good. It's
so
not B.
How many is it for you?
I'd say 3.5 is my over-under, is where I would set.
Like a half in there?
I'm going to throw a half in
those
there.
Those legs better be powerful?
My left leg's good, right leg's not so
okay.
good. So I'm going to go 3.5. Under 3.5, I'm not saying it's a bad draft, but you would want a little bit more than that. 4 is great. If you get 4 good
four
players,
is high in the sky.
4 is like,
yeah.
wow, we had a really good draft. Look
I
at
agree.
That. We got a defensive end, we got a corner, we got a running back, and we got a wide receiver out of this draft.
Agree.
Let's move on to next year's draft. Who
yeah.
cares about the 7th round pick and the 6th round pick? 3 I'm okay with. But I'm not going to say you get a home run. I'm not going to say great draft. I want 4 for a great draft.
I stopped watching after, like, I didn't really watch day 2, to be totally honest with
you. I didn't watch anything on Friday.
But I did open my phone every once in a while when I was out doing stuff or during the NBA games, and I would just see, did he get picked yet?
Nope. I kept checking.
He didn't get picked yet?
At some point, it's going to happen, right?
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 And somebody's got
somebody
it.
Was like, at this point, he might want to just be a undrafted free agent. And I'm like, damn, dude, it's going that bad.
The takes were coming out. Can he withdraw his name and go back and make $8 million in college football next year? Because he probably could get that kind of money.
Let me ask you, which player, if you gave them whatever the financials are for the one season, which player, if given the choice, would have dropped out of the draft during the draft and gone back? Quinn Ewers or Shedeur Sanders?
Shedeur Sanders. I think so.
Quinn Ewers was in a
he was in a playoff. Hunting lodge waiting for you see his visuals.
I
wait,
see
yeah,
it, no.
There's a lot of heads on the wall.
Was
there.
He a 6th round pick?
I believe 7th so.
Round that pick.
Sounds, Quinn Ewers, I think 6th round.
I know
round
the Dolphins
pick.
Took him.
He was super late. I want to say 6th round. We'll talk.
Would
to,
he have left if he knew he like we all kind of thought so, he's a 6th round talent, and I'm like,
yeah,
he's leaving.
Well, it's interesting on him because there's a couple of arguments out of it. One, this is why you get the bag when you could get the bag because there's no guarantee what your NFL career is going to be. He was
right.
the number one kid coming out of high school.
He had a good. He had a really good.
He had
college
a good
career.
College career.
Right,
he led them to the playoffs
yeah.
twice. Like he almost won the SEC. He won the Big
won
12
the
in his last year.
What regular season?
SEC
right?
regular season title. Like he was a good college quarterback. We'll talk to Pate about this because he made a. We're gonna have him on today, and I wanted to listen to his show last night out of the draft stuff.
I heard about half of it,
and I thought he made a great point on Quinn Ewers about legacy
yeah.
and how long term financially legacy means a lot more. Than maybe a 1 year payday that he could have gotten somewhere else in college. He's not
going to
play at Texas next year.
No,
they're
going
playing
to
Arch Manning.
Yeah.
And so your choice was either I'm done as a Longhorn and my career is as a Texas Longhorn, or
but also
I,
a Buckeye,
or well, also a Buckeye and a guy with a mullet, or I go you know transfer somewhere else where you'll still be. Hey, thanks for the fun memories, Quinn. But when you go into the NFL as a guy wearing or having a different logo by their name, the legacy is a little bit different. And so I thought it was an interesting spin from Pate of like long term financially speaking. It benefits him a ton just to be the Texas quarterback that led them to 2 playoffs.
My only pushback on that is that doesn't exist in that sport anymore, man.
See, I think it does. I genuinely think it does.
Yeah. Cam Ward, Miami legend.
Yeah, I don't.
Via Washington State for 2 years.
I think that's the whole point.
Incarnate Word.
I think that's the whole point of guys who play. There's very rarely do you have guys that play their entire careers at one school.
He and didn't play at one school his entire career.
I mean, he didn't play at Ohio State. I know he was there
but
for a
like
year as
that,
a high school senior and then transferred.
Yeah, but you
I
can't ignore that. That really happened.
It
he
did
went to
happen.
Ohio State so he could make money.
I get it.
So he made a money decision at 17.
He did, and then another one to transfer to Texas
because
he got paid again.
Well, he wanted to go to Texas, but he couldn't get paid in the state yet.
Yeah.
Ohio does.
So then he goes to Texas.
I get it. I think it's different when you don't ever take a snap.
I just don't think legacy stuff like that exists anymore.
I think it does when you graduate. Like, for quarterbacks that stick and play, and that's the only place that you truly ever really play, I do think the legacy stuff matters long term.
I have to go through a list and rattle them off and see how quickly we really tie some of these quarterbacks with them.
I think we do for the most part. We still do.
Really?
I do.
Is there another quarterback that you have this with in the
draft?
It
struck a chord with me because it reminded me of conversations with Anthony Newman about this, about he wanted to go other places.
Yeah.
And now he's a guy who has had business tie-ins to Oregon for 30 years.
So is Bo Nix an Oregon legend?
I wouldn't call him an Oregon legend.
He played at Auburn for what?
Yeah, I don't think it's the same for a guy like Bo Nix. I don't. I think he'll always be remembered, but he'll never have the same standing in the fan base as Herbert or Mariota will.
So 2 years starting is enough for the legacy?
So I'm saying I don't think he'll ever be on the. He was an unbelievable quarterback at Oregon.
I mean,
well, I think he was a 3 year starter, wasn't he? I think it was a 3 year starter.
Was he three?
Yeah.
Was it a full three?
I'm pretty sure it was a full three.
I couldn't remember the first year.
I think it was a full 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I see his point, but 6th round versus starting for one team for one more year.
Could have made a lot of money in college.
I don't think him starting for Alabama. Let's just throw a team out there. I don't think that changes anything from Texas history.
See, I do. I think they look at him differently in the state of Texas.
Why?
Now, if he wins a national championship at Alabama, maybe it's different because then you're the legend in Alabama, and then you go on to be in the speaking circuit for Alabama high school football for a long time. You very well could do that.
Well, obviously, we have a lot to get into. We're already disagreeing on legacy. Do you think that this is a thing? Swag, I want to ask you this question. I want you to noodle on during the break. What side are you on? Does the legacy stuff still matter in that sport? Because I think that sport has stopped caring about legacy stuff. Now, Ewers stayed, obviously, and finished his career in college at one place. But does legacy stuff still matter to us? Is that a big deal to fans still? I was under the assumption it wasn't. And then Dirk came in and said, it was, or it is. And so I want to talk about that. The NFL draft, Shador fell to 144th pick overall. The NBA playoffs were spectacular. I mean, there's a ton. We got Dan Lanning audio today.
Yeah.
There's a ton to talk about. It's good to be with you on this Monday. Let's get it going next on The Fan. Josh Pate will join us. If you heard the first segment, RT's there at 7:15. He's live from Morgantown. He's on his coach's tour. He's
got Rich Rod.
Rich Rod.
Rich Rod's back at West Virginia.
Yeah, he's a Mountaineer again.
He is.
How about that?
Take me home, country roads.
Let me ask you this. What was the biggest thing from the weekend for you in sports? Because
there was a
lot.
I mean, do you want me to answer truthfully?
Unless it's going to be Winter Hawk related.
Kenyon Sadiq looks like the best tight end in the country.
God,
he looks so good.
How'd he do against that Duck defense?
He torched the Duck defense. Issues for the Duck defense.
Did he have a red jersey on? Kenyon Sadiq.
No, he had a real jersey on. You can touch him. No, biggest thing for the weekend, God, that's a hard question. Shador is the number one headline.
What's your number one headline? It wasn't
the biggest thing for me.
Dirt.com, what's the number one sports headline?
At Dirt.com, I would say, you kind of put me on the spot here.
Well, I was thinking about this last night because I have one.
I'll give you.
And I don't think it's the biggest, but I think it kind of has to be.
I would say at Dirt.com, the number one headline would be sans Kenyon Sadiq being the greatest tight end in the history of college football, how the Lakers are down 3-1 to Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah. The offseason of all the football stuff.
Wow.
Draft stuff, you know how I feel about it. We all give our takes. Nobody has any clue. Like, this is a great draft. This is a terrible draft. Nobody has any idea, right? We just give our opinions. This is actual concrete things that I could point to. They're down 3-1.
Yeah.
They were outscored by, 32-19, I want to say, in the fourth quarter. They led that entire game in game four.
Yeah.
Minnesota attacked Luka defensively the entire game.
And he was a sieve defensively. They didn't sub anybody in the second half.
A little moment for Nico Harrison. Still a horrible trade to be like, that's right, defense with championships. So, to me.
Who are the Mavs playing right now in the playoffs?
They're playing the team and the team and the team and the team. Minnesota being up 3-1. Maybe the Lakers shocked the world and come back, but a first-round exit, not knowing what the future of LeBron is, who's had back-to-back unbelievable games.
We know the future.
Well, I'm sure. I'm just like, how many more years are you going to hang on?
If you told me this summer it comes out near the start of the season and they ramp
goodbye
up the
tour.
Goodbye tour, yeah.
So it's nearing an end.
Yeah.
And so that to me is a massive deal that they might lose in the first round of the playoffs.
I got to admit, did not have that maybe in my top three guesses that you would throw at me.
Minnesota doing that, I know it's only one game difference between them and L.A., but a 6-3, they're up 3-1. Anthony Edwards
was awesome yesterday. Like, just, oh, that's right. There's Anthony Edwards. That's the dominant playoff basketball player that we saw last year, maybe making a run to the conference finals. That's a big deal for me.
Depth matters.
Depth does matter.
Having more than two guys that you can count on to hit a bucket. LeBron did not score in the fourth quarter, had some key defensive plays. Luka, I mean,
he was great offensively.
He was fine offensively. Just got absolutely torched on defense, and Austin Reeves couldn't buy a shot to save his life.
No, he could not.
Naz Reid, Julius Randle, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, like, they've got dudes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said this on the show or if it was something I was texting with somebody. I just thought the winner of that series is going to be in the West Finals.
Seems like it.
And I know that Golden State somehow beat Houston without Jimmy Butler. Like, my God, Houston, go trade and get somebody that can play offense.
Yeah, no star player, huh?
But I think the winner of this series is going to beat Golden State.
Yeah, I don't. See that.
I'm not very high on Golden State. Golden State might not win this series. It's not over yet, but they're up in that one. Being up 3-1 Minnesota isn't shocking to me, and I wasn't overly surprised to watch them melt down in the fourth quarter. 10 points is almost no big lead, and they didn't make any substitutions.
Nope.
Like, if there's any criticism of Redick, it hasn't been there all year. That was the first time I'm like, yo, I get it. You gotta rest him for 2 minutes.
Get Bronny a little run. What's he doing over there?
Don't connect out. Exists.
Don't connect's not,
I mean,
playing.
Jackson Hayes can't run for no. 2 minutes.
They can't get Alex Len, can't get a couple of minutes here or there.
It's just crazy that you didn't sub them at all. And then guess what? They look like their legs were gone and they couldn't hit shots. So
yeah, Dorian Finney-Smith was the only guy that played big minutes off the bench and the only guy who scored off the bench for LA.
Yeah. I mean, the five guys that played in the second half played the whole second half.
Not easy to win games in the playoffs when that's your lot in life.
I'm just, I got to admit, I'm pretty proud and shocked that that was your biggest story.
That's a pretty big story for me because the Luka trade was such a big deal in the NBA. Not that it was championship or bust. They're going to have him for a long time.
But you thought Minnesota could win that series.
I'm not surprised that Minnesota's going to win the series, but to be up 3-1 and to blow them out in game one and to erase the deficit they did in game, I mean, they're essentially one bad quarter away from a sweep. I mean, they played horribly in the second or the first quarter of game two.
Oh, you're talking about the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm saying Minnesota without a bad first quarter in game two in LA, that's how far away they are from a sweep. Like,
yes.
That to me is, it's not that they're going to likely win the series. What are we at? 13 teams all time that I think have erased a 3-1 deficit. So maybe the Lakers are the next in that and, you know, check this in a week.
You think they can beat them three straight times?
No, I do not think can. But I also didn't think LeBron was going to come back from down 3-1 against the 73-win Warriors a couple of years ago. And that happened. I know that was a decade ago. But being up 3-1 and winning in the emphatic nature that they did was surprising to me.
There was certainly a lot of, like, how did this team win and how is this series tied at 2 in the NBA?
There was. Saturday night was wild.
Dude, can I also say this? I poo-pooed it after game one. The Magic have gotten me. I've been in on that series.
You're in on the Magic?
They're uglying it up. They're trying to fight them every other possession. Paolo's been awesome. I'm in on Orlando.
You're in on Orlando? If they had the
good
other
atmosphere.
If the other Wagner brother was there, if Jalen Suggs was there, I would be curious if their offense would look more fluid.
Have you watched Jalen Suggs play offense?
I know.
Not what he's supposed to
do. I know.
That's not his strength in the NBA.
You think Mo Wagner's the difference maker? He's the lesser of the Wagners.
They are one high-scoring point guard away from grabbing my curiosity on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, if they can add a scorer, they're like Houston. They're exactly like Houston. They're built pretty well. Young team. Feisty. They ugly it up. But they have been just a terrible watch all year.
Yeah.
Anytime I had the Magic on League Pass, I'm
and
like,
Boston's been playing right into their hand of playing with their food and keeping that series interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought the biggest takeaway from the weekend was.
Okay.
Of all the things, okay?
All the things. And there was a lot of things.
There was a
lot of things. It's hard to really pinpoint one thing because you can always bring up another thing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what the biggest thing that I took away from the weekend, and I'll tell you what that is next. I mean, I have all of these things, and I'm like, what segment are we getting to it? And I don't really like going home saying, well, we'll swing that over to tomorrow, but it's going to happen. I mean, it's naturally going
to
happen.
Yeah, there's going to be a few things we don't get to today.
I will tell you this. So you gave me, surprisingly, your biggest takeaway from the weekend is the Timberwolves were up 3-1 after winning and coming back in the fourth quarter of that game yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy to hear you say this.
Basketball dirt's here.
I also do believe you on the first jokey answer that Kenyon Sadiq.
I mean, it was Kenyon
Sadiq. Being the best tight end in the country is definitely your thing.
God, he looks so good. It's hurtling people.
Booty play.
I get it. Laugh now.
You're such a nerd.
Laugh now.
I know he's good. I don't need a spring game to tell me he's good.
Oh, I'm going
to
remember this in October.
My biggest takeaway from the weekend, it happened in the last game of the NBA playoffs. Damian Lillard's career is over.
Yeah, it's all done. It's horrible.
I mean, I really hate to say it just point blank like that. He's going to be 36 going on 37 when he comes back.
He's missing all of next year.
He's not coming back next year.
No.
To have that injury happen yesterday, and the minute it happened, we all saw and felt the same thing.
Couldn't stand up, couldn't put any weight, grabbing the Achilles. You know exactly what it is.
First
That's
replay.
Not a rolled ankle. It's not a, it, I mean, no. It's just, boom.
As soon as he went down, I went, oh, no. And then they play the replay. He's holding his Achilles. They show the replay. You see the slight pop. Your mind does the thing. Like, we're all doctors now with that injury.
We are.
As soon as we see that pop.
And you grab it.
And
can't move.
Or you feel puzzled. You're like, what happened? Because you don't know. It feels like you got kicked.
Yeah.
You all know what it is. Now, we're awaiting the MRI results, but.
That's the fear, and that we all know what it's going to be.
Doc Rivers said this yesterday.
This is a tough one, honestly. Blood clot followed by this. You know, it's just tough, you know, so, that's why you have teammates and family, you know, around them. It's just such a great freaking dude, like on a basketball level, but more important, like as a teammate and a father and all that stuff. And, you know, no one deserves it, but golly, you just look at him. And, so that's why I feel bad. It's just tough. I thought I've seen injuries like deflate teams, but tonight that one hurt.
Yeah. Kyle Kuzma did a lot when Dame went out. He scored 3 points, grabbed no rebounds, had one assist. Shout out Kendrick Perkins. Can be a third on a championship level team. Fire that man.
I don't know if Giannis.
Fire
is,
that man.
I don't
that
know if Giannis is clutch anymore.
One of the worst takes I've heard in real time this year, and I stored that away. 0 points, 12 points, 9 points, 3 points. Great take, Kendrick Perkins. Really bang up job.
Number
you're doing.
Three star.
That's
devastating, dude.
I mean, it's beyond devastating. Yeah. He played just a couple games. He played 2 games from the blood clot injury. Comes back. He's
rusty with not playing well, but there's always that thought, man, if he gets hot or wakes up, maybe Milwaukee gets a game here and he gets going in the playoffs. Wasn't happening, and now, I mean, that's it.
I mean, I saw people, you know, I think this really hurts Blazer fans because obviously being a Blazer for so long, and look, I am in no way saying this is any one person or team's fault. I saw Blazer fans that were mad at the Blazers. Like, they found anger at the Blazers about just, like, how did this, the last couple of years, how did this become what his
career
was?
How was this how it turned into?
Let me just clarify, in no way is this anybody's fault. This is just something that happens. It's not even the blood clot's fault.
No.
This is just, and I hate to say this too, mid-30s point guard, like, I'm sorry, Chris Paul and Steph Curry are the exception to the rule. These guys don't age well at that position. They
nope.
never have. And he was starting to kind of, he'd been banged up last year. Obviously, he had the blood clot stuff. This year, I didn't expect an Achilles. I don't want to see that injury.
Right.
But with the mileage he put on from Portland and carrying the franchise for as many years as he did, this is kind of the nature of the beast with that position. It's why building around that position is not highly regarded unless you can get, like, you know, Dame
one
in his prime,
one, yeah.
right? But you got to build it right. But putting everything and saying we need the 34, 35-year-old point guard to be their second and carry us, you're asking a lot. And so I don't think Milwaukee was going to beat Indiana with him. That series is absolutely over. But it's just devastating that happened. Watching that happen to our guy who did it for so many years in Portland, that was probably the biggest takeaway. And there's really good stuff out there from the Sports Weekend Dirt. But Dame Lillard's career, I mean, if he's lucky, he'll be like the ninth guy off a bench and Blazer fans already trading from back. And I'm like, it's $113 million in the next 2 years guaranteed. He's not going to play next year.
Yeah.
you know, I don't know what it is, but his career is seemingly over.
Yeah, it seemingly is over. I think the only hope for him is maybe there's a Gary Payton title out there somewhere. Can you come off the bench for a good team in 2 to 3 years?
That was my first thought.
8 or 9 points per game and knock down a big shot like that. That's the only way this ends in a positive light. I did have the same. Well, there was almost two different takeaways. One was, oh my God, Milwaukee is screwed, because their pivot, if they lost this season, was likely going to be to try and deal Lillard, see if you could turn that into something. Now, I mean, that's not happening. So you're, I mean, there's literally nothing you could do to improve your roster. Their draft capital's gone. One of your tradable quote unquote stars is now out with an Achilles injury. You're not going to move him. So good luck. You're screwed for the next year plus right. in Milwaukee. And then the other thought that I did have, and I know you mentioned some Blazer fans shared it online. I every time Lillard is in the news, I have the same reaction. It's just like, God, for 10 years, we dragged our feet waiting to think that maybe CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard could win a championship. And every time something bad happens to him or there's maybe a little bit of finality to his career, that's exactly where my mind goes. We never really tried. We never really took a swing. And in the last 3 to 4 years, we strung him along. We fired his head coach. We told him we were trading assets to go improve the roster around him. We're going to go so all in it hurts, mainly because the organization didn't want to be the bad guy and trade away their star player, which if they would have had the balls to do it, there would have been a revolt from the fan base, but they would have got more in the return if they trade him a year and a half earlier.
Yeah, if you do it a year and a half earlier, your return is actually bigger,
it's
and
massive.
He still has a couple and more seasons.
But they dragged it along because they didn't want to be the bad guy, and so they wasted prime years of his career. Go look at some of his numbers at the end of the Portland run, man. He was unbelievable. Then they'd shut him down. He went along with the tank. Like, I all of that stuff flashed through my mind of everybody held on too long. The organization lied to him about what their plans were. And then, unfortunately, he gets to Milwaukee a little too late. The first year he's there, Giannis can't stay healthy. And then this year he's dealt with injuries essentially for the last 3 months. And now what he looked like at his prime and his peak, some would have argued it was already gone and already passed him.
Sure.
Now it definitely, without a doubt, is. And you just hope that you could catch on somewhere and win a title, hopefully, as a role player.
I will say, though, that is one thing that I will, once in a while, I will bring up when talking about the Blazers with the Dame stuff. I actually think the organization has gotten off rather easily. And in fact, if we were in another bigger market, I don't know if they would have gotten off as easy as they did when they said, we're going to go all in. You're going to wonder what we're doing.
We're so all in, it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. We're going to put the chips in the middle, and then quite literally did the exact opposite.
They didn't do anything.
That is...
They drafted two guards in the top 10 when your star player was a guard.
Like, if that is said in a major market around a slightly aging star, and then the opposite happens, there is fan outrage to the level of, is the organization going to do any make any changes? But we're in Portland, and so we instantly get the young point guard from the G League, and we go, yay, he's going to do it.
I mean, his last year in Portland, he averaged almost 33 points per game.
It was 32, 24, 28, 30, 26, 27, 27. Those are like his last 5 to 6 seasons.
Pretty good.
Unbelievable. And I just think the organization got off pretty easily, despite saying they were going to go all in, it's going to hurt, or chips in the middle, whatever the exact phrasing was. And I'm bummed. I'm bummed to watch it end like that. It's seeing a point guard's career kind of come to an end in this fashion is not unusual to me. It's just not a dude that I want to see. That's how his career is going to kind of...
It's such a bad way to end.
And I don't think he's done. No. Like, I think he's going to keep trying to play. Maybe he has that GP Miami season that you mentioned. But the Lillard we all watched and cheered for and saw... I mean, he averaged 25 this year in Milwaukee, played 58 games. If he averages even 16 points again in his career in a season, I'll be admittedly surprised. Because I think what he just lost with his age plus that injury, you're asking for a lot at that spot to be able to do what he was doing.
Well, you did the math. I mean, he's going to turn 35 here in like 2 months.
Yeah.
And then so you're out all of next season.
So it'll be 36.
You're 36 when you're coming back going on 37.
And
it's the final year of the big contract that he sent, the extension that he signed.
Yep.
So he's getting paid. So, you know, life's good financially for him. But it just, when you see a career end potentially this way, I'm rooting to be wrong on this take. I hope he's able to come back.
He's played 32,000 minutes.
That's a lot of minutes, man. It's a lot of minutes. A lot of games.
32,000 minutes.
Yeah.
13-year career.
They rode this guy.
Those two things have just defied that position in general.
Yeah.
And he has been so elite at it. It just, yeah. I mean, Steph did his thing against the Houston Rockets this weekend. Again, Steph and Chris Paul, kind of the exceptions to this rule.
Yeah, you can't look at guys like LeBron and be like, well, every star is going to be 41 and having triple-doubles in the playoffs. It doesn't happen, man. They're the outliers.
So that was my biggest takeaway from the weekend is the Dame Lillard we all know and cheered for and loved
watching. It's a depressing
watching.
Takeaway, man. A really depressing takeaway.
I know, but it was just such a massive moment.
No, it was huge. It's huge.
Bill Belichick did an interview with his girlfriend. I don't know what to make of that. Does he need to blink twice? For help, or
we got a hostage situation going on right now.
There's something go.
This is weird.
It's
crossed
weird.
Over from like old guy, young girl, a little weird to like this is weird.
She's like talking for him.
She interrupted the CBS interview a dozen times.
A 20-some-year-old interview.
We're not answering that question.
Yeah, we got to get to that audio.
Yeah.
We have a prank call.
We do
by a defensive coordinator's son. Swag's threatening to cut off the tuition.
Oh,
he's like, if that's my kid, we're not paying for college anymore. I'm like, he's an NFL coach. It costs him nothing to pay for that tuition.
I also, does he play any sports? I don't think he does. But does he play any sports?
I don't know if he plays a sport, but he's in college.
I didn't know if he was there on an athletic scholarship. Dad's NFL coach.
How would you react if you were Shador? Would you take that acceptance, that apology?
I'd just use it as fuel.
Okay.
Fuel to my fire, chip on my shoulder.
Right, jacks on
your yeah, get it tattooed on my
You
on
take
my shoulder.
The call, you listen, you say, okay, I appreciate you standing up, and then you don't ever have anything to do with them again. But you don't perpetuate the story at that point. It's like, okay.
Crazy weekend for old Shador.
Wild weekend in general for everybody.
Legendary, some would say.
It was a very legendary weekend for him. A
lot of the intel coming in of why maybe he slipped. So we'll get to the Shador stuff today. Josh Pate will join us, get his thoughts on Shador slipping to the fifth round. Let's carry on from depressing story about Dame Lillard. Let's carry on with the NBA playoffs. A couple more notes and series that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that.
Olympic Steph Saturday night.
We did see Olympic Steph.
Yes.
Well, we saw Steph Curry. I mean, it's not just... He's been great.
He's done that in the NBA Finals, too.
He has.
He was pretty good a couple years ago. Yeah. Boston.
That was Davidson Curry, too.
Somebody bringing up the Steph Dame point of like, he's the opposite. He's the Benjamin Button of injuries.
Yes.
All of his injuries
all
were
in
early in his career, and you're like, this guy's
point.
Never going to be able to stay healthy. And then he just stayed healthy.
Hey, Milwaukee, you want Monta Ellis or Steph Curry? Because we might be done with either one of them. We'll take Monta.
Yeah,
the other guy's got
ankles made of paperweights.
More NBA playoff talk next on The Fan.
And this is for the win. Oh, it's close. They're going to call
the buzzer. Did Gordon beat the buzzer?
They're going to take a look at it.
They're going to take a look. He did. Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, TNT on the call about that one Saturday. The Nuggets were up 22. And the Clippers came back, man, in a fury. Went on a 30-9 run.
30-9 run. End of the series if you lose that game.
I mean, it's over.
It's all over. Slipping through your fingers like sand.
And tie game, Jokic getting doubled. It's like, God, nobody's helping me all game. I got 33-18-9. Does a turnaround fade from three, and he misses it so bad that it almost looks like an alley-oop to Aaron Gordon.
Easy. He's top five Jokic. That was a pass. Did it on purpose. Thread the needle.
Look, I actually noted this. I did not want to come in and say if they had lost that game. You know, Jokic missed two clutch free throws.
He's not clutch. He's not clutch again after 36 points, 21 rebounds, and 8 assists, and 2 steals, and a block.
So
not clutch again.
That was
14 of 25 from the floor, 3 of 6 from three. He missed one free throw in the game.
That's why I noted it. Yeah. I said, I'm not. They showed the stat line after he missed the first free throw, and I'm like, dude,
it's so stupid.
I've seen this story before. The media, what they're going to say. He misses it. I mean, we've seen games end with dunks. NC State famously won a championship.
That was the first thing that popped into my mind.
Charles White, the missed alley-oop, the missed shot that he then dunked
air ball,
on.
Boom, put home
against Houston. That one though. So a couple things. One, the series is over if Gordon. Because I think they lose in overtime.
Probably,
right?
Yeah. With the direction things were going at the end of regulation, they're going to lose that game.
So what I'm confused on is here, by definition, because they didn't seem overly confident on the actual broadcast with this, the ball is 80% through the hoop.
Yes, it is.
But if there's a finger still on it,
He hadn't released the shot. And so the rule is you have to release the shot before the clock expires.
But the ball is 80% through the hoop. It's
and that was the part I didn't know. At what point
does
the ball...
I was so confused. I had never seen something like that.
Does the ball have to go completely below the rim
or is it just crossing the threshold?
Or once it breaks the plane? That was the piece I wasn't clear about. But
I
knew if the light was on.
Yeah.
And his hand was still on the ball, they would have waved it off.
They made it sound like there was a...
I didn't have sound up at this point because we had just...
He went like Vince Carter dunk slam dunk contest, arm in the hoop, but his hand is still touching the ball as the red light goes off, does that count?
I think they would have waved it off.
Even though the ball's like below the net and his elbow is holding onto the hoop because he's still touching it, it's in the hoop.
I think they would have waved it off.
I should have had you pull the Harlan. I forgot about how great Harlan's fight call was, too.
He was great this weekend.
Because Gordon was trying to get in with
him
Harden.
And Harden got into it a little bit.
That was a weird thing to be mad about Christian Brown for, by the way.
Very weird.
It seemed like a standard foul, but he must have been pissing him off.
I'm here for the feistiness, though.
This is the problem with the way they call things in the regular season now, where what used to be incidental contact gets called for fouls, and now they're going to let them play in the playoffs. And a lot of guys aren't used to that level of contact. And so everybody's getting all chippy. And why you're having so many little scrums and fracases in the playoffs is because I think the difference between regular season contact and what's being allowed in the playoffs is much more significant than it used to be.
Oh, I think the reason it's been chippy is it just means more.
It just means more. Look,
these dudes, like, go look at the scores yesterday.
No, I know.
This is why you want a sense of urgency in the regular season, is because you get this, when you have this level of competition, it's intense. Yeah. Every possession matters, and you don't get that in the regular season. It's 142 to 136.
So, like, watching, I couldn't tell if the finger was still on the ball. And then ESPN ended up getting it after the game on the Malika Andrews post-game thing.
Yeah, it was.
There was a clear view above the cylinder where you could see his hand was off.
And the light wasn't on yet.
But in the game,
just remarkable, dude.
It's not even a millisecond of a millisecond difference between overtime, no overtime. But is it or isn't it? Because the broadcast didn't seem clear of if the ball's past a certain point, that is good regardless of a finger being on the ball or not.
Yeah, that was so confusing to me. I also feel for the broadcasters there because you're just sitting courtside. You got these little monitors in front of you. You're watching the same replay. You're supposed to have a take. You're like, I don't know.
That's where you need an NBA. That's where you need
Where's
your
Steve Javy when you need him? I
Javy's
thought he jumps
on.
Javy's
an ESPN guy. It was a TNT
game. Oh,
that's
right. It was a TNT game. That's right.
If they have one or not.
I don't think that they do have one. Now, let me ask you this. So they get that call right. You may end up being basketball dirt at the end of this series because
on,
it makes
Nuggies.
No
Come
sense
on,
that that series is 2-2.
No.
The Clippers are like
the Clippers have outplayed them for 2/3 to 3/4 of the minutes played.
Everybody watching the series knows the Clippers are the better team.
It's not a debate in anybody's mind.
It's not a debate.
But then you have 36-21-8. And 14 of 25 from the floor.
None of it might matter because the Thunder are just sitting here waiting. Their feet are up. SGA didn't even play well and they swept.
Yeah.
But that series being as tight as it was and as close and controversial as the call.
Right.
And then let's go to Sunday. We're going to one-up it. We're going to not blow a whistle on the last play of the game that would have given the Pistons the series tie at 2-2, but then maybe 5 minutes after the game come out and say, yeah, we cost you the game.
Oopsies.
Sorry about that.
It's
You're down 3-1 going back to New York.
All the bitching and whining JB Bickerstaff has done all season about his Pistons not getting the whistle and the respect.
So
it's all true.
Here's the other follow-up I had on that. So on the whole, is the finger on the ball and the hoop and how far, that whole thing is a gray area for me as a,
Shouldn't be a gray area. That's a basket. Even if the finger's on the ball.
I agree with you there.
Too
if it's
far
if
down.
It's crossed the threshold
it's
of the hoop,
out.
that's a hoop. Yes. I don't care. It's a bucket. I don't care if your hand's still on it. Why are you, and maybe you are allowed to, how can you not review that?
Because there wasn't actually a whistle blow. What are you reviewing then?
Yeah,
the game ends. They get the rebound.
Somebody could
stop
challenge
play and say
if they somebody had a challenge left.
Did Detroit have
it
at the end of the game? Are you allowed to use a challenge at the end of the game?
What would you have challenged? What would you have told the refs you're challenging? The play
that there
didn't
was a foul.
The non foul call
didn't get blown. The game ended.
I guess that's true.
Because the ball was called out of bounds, so you could review the call and then on the replay. Which I don't know if I like this or not. they can interpret other parts of the play that's not being challenged.
Like, yes.
That was a possession challenge in the Wolves.
Well, that's what it, they were challenging where the ball was off of. It was clearly off of Edwards, and then it turned into a foul on LeBron.
And it clearly was a foul. Let me be clear.
Hands part of the ball.
They changed that rule.
My daughter just...
Hands part of the ball.
I forget which play it was
in the playoffs, but there was... They switched that up for the officials, I think, for this season.
Yeah, that's a new thing for them.
Where it's called approximate foul. But there were some... when they went back and looked at the review, there were some egregious fouls that weren't called that clearly affected the ball going out of bounds.
But that play,
but the officials couldn't.
Right, but that play happened. The clock runs out. There's no whistle to call the review.
Yeah, I just am screaming at my house watching it. Like, how do you not?
That's
he bumped him.
Foul.
That's a foul.
That's an obvious.
That's an obvious foul. They swallowed the whistle. Yes. They acknowledge it afterwards.
He left his feet. He traveled. There was no verticality.
Contact was clearly made. He was going up in shooting motion. That's just point blank of a foul as you'll ever see.
He's making two of those three. They're winning the game.
They're winning the game. And the series is 2-2, and you're in it.
Yeah.
And said you're down 3-1 and your season's over.
And then I get on my gambling show with Ortner, and he's like, Sprague, you're genius, sorry, you called it Knicks in 5. I'm like, I don't know, man, it shouldn't be over in 5.
I feel a little dirty about this claim. I like that they're up 3-1, but...
Let me ask you this, because we just kind of breezed and combined three series into one, and we can get back into the playoffs, because I think they've been pretty good.
They've been solid.
The two-minute report... Has it benefited the league or the teams in any way?
No.
It makes it worse. But I will tip my cap to their honesty.
I don't know if I want the honesty if you can't retroactively change it.
There's still just as many screw-ups and foul-ups as there were, I don't know, 5, 7, 10 years ago whenever they started doing that.
Yeah, the officiating
There's no consequences
better.
For the... These guys should be kicked out of the playoff pool.
Wow.
And... not allowed to advance.
And you get to try and interpretate.
I can't interpretate anything.
Trying to interpretate what calls are.
But there's no consequences.
Yeah.
They're
I agree with you there.
The same mistakes that they've been making. There's no accountability. It doesn't seem to have any effect. I don't know if they're suspending or fining or whatever officials.
You can't suspend them for that. That's a missed call.
Yeah.
You can't suspend
people. Yeah, it's human nature to make mistakes. But I agree with the ultimate point that there should be some consequent structure out of missed calls of that magnitude.
Why are we still making the same officiating mistakes we seem to always make?
That's a foul.
In terms of like take them off of a crew or take, you know, you're not allowed to ref the next game. Like those kind of things.
Or does it indicate to you you need another official on the floor or you need to, you know, it's like, well, they can't be everywhere. They can't the angle or whatever. Okay, how do you fix that then?
I mean, basketball, man.
I mean, it's the human nature of it. This is the way the sport existed for 50 years.
But if you're not going to fundamentally change anything in the system or...
I just don't know if the two-minute report... I don't know if there's a positive from yesterday's two-minute report. Yeah. Hey, we screwed that up. Yeah, we all watched. We know.
If you know it,
you can't give the Pistons the win.
I know. I know. It's dumb. I at least appreciate the transparency because you don't even get that in other sports.
Well, I was going to be on time and then his ass is rambling out suspending officials and everything. Cat was awesome.
Take him out back.
How did Cat hit that shot over the backboard?
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
That was unbelievable. That felt like Bird.
I mean, that felt like a Knicks Pistons game from 1992.
The score looked like it too. It was in the 90s,
and it was the first triple double for a Piston in the playoffs since Isaiah Thomas. They hadn't won a home playoff game since the Eastern Conference Finals in 2008.
Really good in the third quarter. God. Not so great in the fourth quarter.
Not clutch. Is he not clutch?
No clutch gene.
No clutch gene for Cade.
It's escaping him. Loaded second hour. Josh Pate will join us at 7:15. Dirt and Sprague hour 2. On the Odyssey app and the Fan.